need to talk with someone about something you can't talk about with anyone else, you can talk to us. I'm Dr. Susan Block, your mistress of the airwaves, but my day job is director of the Dr. Susan Block Institute for the Erotic Arts and Sciences, specializing in sex therapy over the phone. Anytime you need to talk, whether you need serious psychotherapy or a hot phone sex experience, or a combination, my world-renowned telephone sex therapists are just a phone call away. Totally private, absolutely confidential. We listen, talk with you, advise you, role-play for you, fantasize with you, no fantasy is too taboo, and help you with anything from impotence to exhibitionism, fears to desires, fetishes to marriages. For more information, call us at 213-291-9497. That's 213-291-9497 anytime you need to talk.
You're listening to Radio Susie One on the World Wide Web. And now, here she is, Dr. Susan Block.
Brothers and sisters, lovers and sinners, artists and exhibitionists, voyeurs and connoisseurs, porn stars and poets, moms and dads, all you children of sex, and we are all children of sex, with a capital X. We may or may not be children of God, Jesus, Allah, Buddha, Brahma Ramadama, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad, or Richard Pacheco. But until we start cloning ourselves, we are all children of sex with a capital X. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
Can I get an A women?
A women, sister.
I want to welcome you to Dr. Susie's Speakeasy in the soul of downtown L.A. This is the new and improved womb room. Brothers and sisters, yes, 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 it is improved. It keeps improving. We keep ripening and getting better in some ways. Yes. Yes, we are all children of sex. We certainly are. And sex is what this show is about. Sex is what brings us into the world, and sex is what motivates us to stick around for a while. Mm-hmm. And some of us are not just children of sex, actually, brothers and sisters. Some of us go a little beyond that. Some of us are children of porn. No, I didn't say children of the corn, right? Okay, that's a little worse. In fact, it's a lot worse. I mean, it's not so bad to be a child of porn. Or is it? We are going to find out tonight here on the Dr. Susan Block Show. Worldwide revolution, worldwide sexual revelation for your hard drive. Snuggle up to your computer screen, wipe it clean, and get ready for a little theater tonight. We are going to go back in time, and we are going to go forward. We are going to go into the children of porn and the parents of sex. And, gosh, I kind of feel like we should have a children of porn support group. There's more and more children of porn. But we have a very special child of porn here tonight, brothers and sisters, lovers and sinners. And he is, in fact, what has brought us together in a kind of congregational sense. He is a child of porn. He is the child of golden age porn star Richard Pacheco, whom some of you, thank you, might know from times gone by or from your classic porn channel. Not that Richard Pacheco is here, so his ghost is here, actually. So I'm going to introduce his son first, who is actually also going to perform for us tonight from his theater piece, his performance art piece, Debbie Does My Dad. And his name is Bobby Gordon.
Great to be here. Thank you so much.
Welcome. So, gosh, I'm so excited to have you here. I watched your piece on video. You performed it at Carol Queen's space.
I did. It was a great night. I got to actually do it with my dad. Do it with my dad, but we shared the night. It was great.
Yeah. You don't want to do it with your dad, right?
Yeah, that's not in the show.
Right. Or with Debbie, I guess, because Debbie's done your dad. So you got to do girls that aren't named Debbie.
Yeah, I made a rule very early on, once I discovered what sex was, that if someone was naked at any point between 1978 and 1984, that I pretty much avoided them at all costs. Mm-hmm. So tonight is a new experience. I'm seeing a lot of people in this room who I'm assuming were naked at some point during that time period.
Yes.
So here
absolutely.
We go.
And might be naked tonight. So we have blindfolds.
Okay, good. Yeah. Good, thank you.
So you did this performance piece, and you're doing it, actually. You did it at Carol's Place, the Center for Sex in San Francisco. And a great audience, mostly your family, I guess, right? Or people, friends, usual opening night crowd.
It was the community. It was a very strange night. I told my dad that it felt like a second bar mitzvah. It felt like what a bar mitzvah is supposed to be. So my dad, being the wonderful, strange human being that he is, actually staged a second bar mitzvah at the end of the show.
Yes.
So
with
the rabbi, that did my bar mitzvah, got up on stage and did a whole ceremony. It was wonderful and ridiculous.
Oh yes. And in the audience was Daniel Ellsberg. What?
He was there.
Wow. Now talk about exposing what is usually hidden.
Absolutely.
Daniel Ellsberg. We clap for him and the porn stars. You know, I mean, it's all about revelation. Revelation, absolutely. Well, anyway, we're going to hear and see a couple of excerpts from your fabulous performance piece, Debbie Does My Dad, but I want to introduce some of our other illustrious guests tonight that are joining us in the speakeasy salon, beginning with the ghost of Richard Pacheco, otherwise known as Howie Gordon.
I want to say I was here about 110 years ago, and when I came tonight, I somehow have gotten very old and very fat and very gray, and you haven't changed a fucking bit.
Now, wait a second.
I want to know.
I wasn't in any movies with you. What do you mean I haven't?
What devil's cock were you sucking is what I want to know.
Ah, yes.
Because
you look
marvelous.
Well, thank you. But I was not in any of those movies.
No,
we met, though. And,
here, right here.
Well, not actually in this place.
A different
this is a new
set,
space. But in L.A.
On your set.
Yes, on my set, yeah. Right? And it was in the 1990s, like 97.
You have a dildo that has my name on it.
I do. I think I have your underwear, too.
Probably.
Are we not supposed to talk about this with your son? This is too awkward.
Yeah, this is the first time. This is actually the first time I've heard any of this.
Yeah.
Okay, it was right after Pornucopia, or in the middle of that, you know, like Annie Sprinkle. Betty Dodson
that's
was right there.
I was the token heterosexual
in that whole thing.
Godmother
of sex.
Yeah.
Or godmother of masturbation, actually.
Yeah. I had a wonderful moment with her.
I
did my little performance piece that night, and then there was a party backstage. And at the party backstage, she came, and I had never met her before. And she sat down on my lap like she had known me for 100 years.
Gosh.
And I was just so honored because Betty Dodson is Daniel Ellsberg.
Same thing happened with me, except I was on her lap.
Oh.
It's a lap thing with Betty. I don't know.
Well,
you're either
going
to be on her lap or she's on yours.
We had a great night. And I didn't think anything of it because...
She is like a Daniel
She's
Ellsberg.
From New York. And people from New York have more chutzpah than most people. And
so
being in my lap, I figured, you know, it's just sort of being famous. She just did what she did and that was great. Well, the next morning, I'm coming off an elevator, and she comes looking at me rather sheepishly, and she said, "You know, when I sat down in your lap last night, I thought I knew you." But you weren't who I thought you were at all. And I hope you don't mind, because I really like you. Can we still be friends?
That's so Betty.
Yeah, I was so sweet.
That's sweet.
Yeah.
That's very sweet. Yes. Well, she is an icon.
Yeah.
And we have another icon sitting next to you.
Yes, we do.
You'd be an icon, but you didn't stick in with it long enough.
Well,
but
AIDS came along.
He was doing something more important. He was raising three amazing people.
Let's not make value judgments. What you do is very important, sister. This is Sister Nina Hartley.
Thank you.
Brothers and sisters, put your hands together. Yes.
Well, my story, I go back with Howie to 1984,
yeah.
And I remember hearing on the set, poor Bobby, I remember hearing on the set that Howie's wife was pregnant with their third child, and that he was quitting in about 2 weeks. You know, like this was, you know, this was happening, and he was leaving the business.
When you met.
It was terrible. I had found my porno Fred Astaire, and he was snatched out of my grasp.
Wow.
We met
you had time to win an award.
We met a little earlier. I was at the top of my game, big shot star, and I get a phone call one day. The voice says, "Hello, my name is Nina Hartley. You don't know me, but we're scheduled to do an anal intercourse scene next week, and I wanted to know if you'd get together and rehearse with me."
Ooh. Oh, and let's rehearse.
I'm covering up the phone, and I say to my wife, "Dear, there's a star that on the phone wants me to fuck her in the ass. Do you mind?" And back in those days, my wife actually didn't mind.
Bless her.
And so I arranged to do this rehearsal with Nina, and it dawned on me that the rehearsal was going to be 100 times better than the movie.
Yeah.
The movie was Annie.
Spontaneous.
Anal Annie and the Willing Husband.
Right. Something written by a chipmunk, no doubt. But here was two porn stars getting together to rehearse. So I convinced the director to shoot this rehearsal we were doing.
Right.
Which amounted to a primer on how to do anal intercourse back in 1984.
Who was the primer for, you or Nina?
Everybody.
Oh.
It was, you know, we used those, the treatment that Masters and Johnson recommended, of the gradually enlarged cylinders.
Right. Uh-huh.
So we did that anally instead of vaginally, which is a treatment for vaginismus therapy.
Right.
So the same thing, but anally. And we showed that all on film. And then about a week after we wrapped this film, literally was the first headline of the heterosexual transmission of AIDS.
Mm.
And now all the information about the anal intercourse was one of the ways to communicate it. So we had this film, which it was never...
1984, right.
With him in a leg Hudson. Brace, because the man is a sports fanatic, and so that was probably the first of many knee injuries.
The best part about that shoot is when I was busy eating her out at one point, and we were in a private home, and the phone rang. And the phone was right next to the bed, and I was the closest person to it, but I'm on camera while this was happening. So I'm looking at this, I'm like, "Hello, and take a message with a person that lived in the house. They're not here right now, but they can't come
Don't
to the phone."
Don't talk with your mouth full, even if you are a cunning linguist.
Oh, goodness.
I think that was the best part of the movie.
Yeah.
Now, was that the movie that you won best couple sex scene in 1989?
No, that was for
Candida.
That was Candida Royale, but not much later.
This movie was
that was
released.
After you quit.
I won the award, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Wait, but I mean, you won the award.
He came back to do a safe sex scene.
Oh, okay. You did a safe sex scene.
No, it was.
I don't remember the sequence. All I know is November 4th, 1984, San Francisco Chronicle, first headline, heterosexual transition.
I'm
going to
let you two old people figure out, you know, what really happened.
Yeah. But we go back a long way, and it's...
What?
We go back a long way, and
Where's my cake? I run my cake before I go to bed. Give me the cake.
Yeah.
I like chocolate.
Give the gas.
But, yes, I had gas.
What is it with all these Jews and porn?
Like a vault.
Ron Jeremy, I mean, Joanna Angel. You know, Jamie Gillis, and how come? A bar mitzvah boy? You know, he's not in porn.
No, he's
but
not.
You're commenting on porn. You're like in a subsidiary field.
He's in a really rarefied group of people, which are people who've grown to adulthood with parents in the sex industry.
That is
a parent. Even though it wasn't concurrent with his being a conscious being, it's still there, and there's not many people. Most of them are much younger.
Right. Well,
still.
There's going to be a lot, though.
Yes, there are.
See, he's
yeah.
paving the way.
He is.
You know, and I'm telling you, children of porn stars support group, it could be big.
Yeah.
You know, the thing that comes to mind, my dad, every now and then, you have this squeamishness. You're like, can I talk about this with you? You forget that I hear that anal sex story at least once a year. It's practically a Hanukkah tradition at this point.
Yeah.
Oh, touche. Good for you, Bobby, because I've heard it more than you.
Now, you hear it from him or from other people?
I hear it from him. Oh. I can do
you
a
hear
few
from
of these
other
stories.
People.
If you get tired at any point, that I can finish the stories.
Go right ahead.
Now, that's a father-son tradition.
It's what happens when you let a cum shot live.
I appreciate that very much. It's been working out very well for me.
Good.
Thank you for not pulling out on that one.
Okay. Awesome. Well, yes, tonight we are talking about porn and art, and porn and art are always kind of intersecting. I mean, there's art that comes out of porn. I mean, there's porn stars that then give birth to artists. I guess that's what's going on here. I mean, we can call you an artist. We can call you a porn star. You know, and then there's artistic porn. And I guess that's in the eyes and ears of and dick and pussy of the beholder.
Amen.
But any women. but we have a young lady. I say young because, you know, there's a lot of oldsters here tonight. But she's really a beautiful woman. And she is a porn star and an artist and a good friend, April Horace.
Yay!
Thank you for having me.
Yeah. Well, you know Nina. In fact, I think you met Nina at my show, maybe, or you seemed like you met.
Yeah.
And I remember you were like comparing, like Nina's going, you got to have a body part that's really like almost fetishistic, and I got the butt, you got the boobs, or it seemed like that kind of conversation was going on.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, and you've created this amazing piece called Artcore with your husband and co-conspirator, Carlos Batz, who's here. Hello, Carlos. Are you on mic or not on mic? Say hi.
You can put him on the LP Scott Lounge. Okay. You can go on the guest mic if he wants.
You want to go on the guest mic? Or a mic? There's a mic. We got mics. How's it going? But it's not on.
Hello.
See, that's the trick.
No, it's on. Hello.
Oh, hey. How you doing?
Hi. My name is everybody.
Hey, girls.
Hey. So, Artcore takes hardcore and makes it art, huh? Something like that.
Yes, Artcore combines art, sex, and technology, and April was my muse for this film. We were able to utilize various forms of technology to create it.
Awesome.
And the way I'm describing Artcore is more like a art film with sex in it. I think that's just a little bit easier for other people to digest it that way.
An art film with sex as opposed to a porn film that's
artsy.
So is it designed to just to entertain people or to promote masturbation?
I think it's a little bit of both. It's kind of just... these visual vignettes that are kind of like they create this atmosphere, and it's very unusual atmosphere compared to our other work. And I don't know, I think I'm really proud of it. It's very cool.
It utilizes other elements of, again, music in it, and set design and costume.
I want to see
and
this.
And that
stuff.
Is a very interesting question, Nina. And I personally think that there's lots of things that make me want to masturbate as well as raise me up in an artistic way.
Well, sure. Well, we work around sexual imagery so much, it no longer has shock value. We see the penises and vulvas in contact all the time, so now we can see them as visual elements or shorthand for something else as opposed to... we're comfortable with explicit images, and they don't upset us anymore, so they can be artistic. And so some people, when they see, and some pornos designed to scenes go a certain length of time, they're designed to have you play along with them versus using hardcore imagery within a bigger tapestry or mosaic of other artistic things.
Back in 1982, James Wolcott, who was a reviewer for Esquire of some repute, talked about a film I was in called Talk Dirty to Me, which essentially made me a star in the business. And he gave it a positive review, and he said porn is taking a new direction. And his observation about porn in the culture was, in the end, until porn is made by artists, it'll wallow in the shallows of human experience. But when we bring the artists to bear on the subject, then we'll have something of value for the whole culture. So I'm actually mm-hmm. very eager to see what you're talking about. It's fascinating to listen to, but the proof is in the pudding. I'd love to see some of this stuff.
And I know that actually one of the points that you make in your piece, Bobby, is that, yeah, is something like that, like father, like son, you know, and that as long as we kind of put down our pornographers and our porn stars, then the best and the brightest might not go into the field, and that's why it's kind of schlocky. But
well, as long as we arrest them.
Yeah,
prosecute
exactly.
Them.
Put down,
that's what
put
it's
down
about.
And arrest yeah. them. Put them away.
Once we stop doing that, then
only,
things
I guess
will change.
That's okay.
Shit, sure.
But allow them to speak. But I think there's always been artistic porn. There's always been porn that rises above, you know, the jerk-off level, I guess. Not that there's anything wrong with the jerk-off level, and not that there's anything wrong with jerking off, but there is something about, you know, a meaning that goes beyond that. And, I mean, in the golden age of porn, there was some great, great pieces by our friend Lasse Braun, Sensations, I mean, lots of, Alice through the Looking Glass, I mean, lots of pieces that were very interesting in ways that they can't make them now. They don't have the budgets or they're just
the vision.
Not,
they don't have the vision.
Maybe, I don't know. They have a different vision. Now it's all about, the money goes into parodies, which is interesting. But I don't want to get too far afield here, okay? Because, of course, Lossie's son, Axel, our other good friend, is the king of parody. Yeah. So, anyways, we are going to go to another form right now, which is performance art, theater. We're going to experience an excerpt from Bobby's play, Debbie Does
Yay.
My Dad, and we have to figure out how we're setting this up. So, Bobby, you can just kind of ascend the stage here. And this is the microphone. Should it kind of move a little towards the middle, or what should we do? We have a rope there to tie him up in case he gets naughty. No, move the rope. Yeah. And I'll just sit back. Woo! In your skivvies near my bed. Ooh. Already it's sexier than Carol Queen's version.
Yes, it is.
I'm liking it.
Are you ready to play? Okay, so we're starting at 8 years old here, so come with me. I don't know what exactly I'm afraid of. The sky falling or the ground giving way beneath me, but I'm 8 years old searching desperate for calm. Put sweaty palms to forehead and search my skull for slow. Sit in my bed at 10 o'clock. 10:01. 10:02. 10:03. 10:04. 10:05. Mom! What do you say when your 8-year-old son runs into your room in the middle of the night? Scared of the dark. Scared of his shadow. Snot-nosed, scared to be alone. What words of comfort come to mind? What can you say to soothe? Ease. Bring peace to a young mind fixated on fear. My dad has the solution. Grab your dick.
Dad?
You heard me. Grab your dick.
No bedtime story?
Nope. Grab your dick. Son, a dick can be a man's rudder to steer himself through the universe.
Grab it!
I tried it. I'm 8. My dick isn't doing a hell of a lot for me. But it turns out grab your dick is the solution for lots of things. Dad, I have a headache. Grab your dick. Dad, I struck out in Little League. Grab your dick. Dad, I can't find my favorite stuffed animal. I got shampoo in my eyes. I don't want to do my homework. Grab your dick. Then do your homework. If a train leaves Grand Central Station in New York at 10:15 heading west and another train leaves Chicago at 2:30 heading east and the two trains meet, how many passengers will still be on board if an average of 3.7 passengers disembark every... Grab your dick. Let me put your minds at ease. There aren't fake-breasted blondes fucking in every corner of my house. I don't have to dodge directors or boom mics over naked twins. I'm not woken up in the morning by shouts from the next room from some girl about how she's never seen a dick that big and do me now, damn it. No. We're normal Americans. Almost. In the house that my dad made with my mom, we can talk about sex. I can ask questions and get real answers. Like, Dad, there's this weird clear stuff that came out of my dick. And is that normal? Yes. That's pre-cum, son. Knowing how I spin in my own mind, tie myself up in a web of worrying and wondering, can you imagine if I had to ask these questions to the ceiling or my pillow? My dad is trying to unlock the power of the ultimate distraction. Grab your dick doesn't solve anything. It doesn't make school easier, bullies nicer, or the world less scary. But it does do something. For an instant, I can't think about anything else. My hand squeezes, my head slows, and the world doesn't seem so terrible. Look, I don't know what kind of parents say grab your dick to their kids. Actually, I don't know any parents that say grab your dick to their kids. And I feel lucky. So if you go home tonight and can't sleep, worrying about your job or your kids or your mortgage, grab your dick. And if you don't have one, the clit works too. Just try it. If we all did, we'd solve a lot of the world's problems. If the Israelis and the Palestinians all grabbed their dicks, we'd finally have a ceasefire. So in the name of peace, let me share with you what I've learned about how to cope in the world. Grab your dick.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Mwah.
That's a great, great message. It is. Don't go away. You should come back up here. You should do another thing. But, I mean, we should just say that that is an amazing piece. It's a beautiful piece. It's an anthem. It's an anthem for, you know, jerking off.
Yeah. You're here.
The power. You're here. And the glory. The aimless power and glory. Yeah, and one of the benefits of having a porn star dad.
Absolutely. You know, my favorite line growing up was that, you know, I was never worried about getting caught masturbating because I was just supporting the family business.
There you go. Right. Right. That's one way to look at it. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, I would like to hear another piece, if that's it. Would everyone else? Would we all like to hear another excerpt? Yeah? I think that'd be great.
Okay. Well, let's get a little bit older. Okay. We're going to jump ahead to college. And, you know, I love my dad very much. And as Nina mentioned, I'm the baby of three. I have two older sisters and a lovely mom as well. And so this takes me, we start at the place where the, you know, my dad wasn't the only influence on me. So we'll start there. And this is called Making Love Sam. A boy learns from his older sisters to be sweet, soft, gentle, and tender with women. Always. He learns that because they don't tell him about how amazing the wild fucking was that they did with their boyfriends downstairs while you were sleeping. Doesn't matter if you were born to porn star parents, you gotta learn about fucking on your own. Until I met Sam. Bright smile, brown hair, and fun. She was more experienced than me, more into the nightlife, just more. The first time we had sex, I didn't even worry. The first time we had sex, I focused so hard on getting an erection that I didn't even worry about myself starting to come. Until I did. And I could see she wasn't done yet. Fuck. Sorry? I'd succeeded at getting an erection and still failed at fucking. Then, she patiently and encouragingly started kissing my neck and my lips and sat up, straddling me, smiling. And she asked, "So you want to do it again?" Taking me by the hand felt like ushering me into manhood. Taking me by the dick and ushering me back into her. We fucked and fucked and fucked and fucked and fucked, and it was fucking amazing. Hair flying, hand squeezing flesh. It was fucking out of this world. Hair flying, hand squeezing. Baby, I'm about to come. Baby, I'm gonna come too. Come, Bobby, come! Come, Bobby, come, go ahead! Come! Wherever you are, thank you, Sam. Yeah, Dad, you had no warning for that.
No, and neither did I. I mean, I guess it's more intense for your dad, but that wasn't on your other performance.
No, it's a very new show. This new show, I'm working with a great director. His name's D'Lo.
Oh.
And so there's a lot more character work. So I'm, whereas before it was all poetry and theatrical poetry, now I'm actually in the scenes and
yeah,
a lot of things are coming
too,
to life and
yeah.
going to be a little bit more real for those people in the audience.
I never met Sam, but I'm going to give her a big kiss when I meet her.
Yeah. Wow.
That's, every young man needs a Sam.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's do it again. Let's play it again, Sam. Exactly.
Yeah,
that,
yeah.
Yeah, that's the answer to that perennial problem. And I am getting a little staticky. So, we're going to want to hear another excerpt a little later, but, let's just talk about our feelings now, group. Okay. All right. There goes one of my vibrators, both of my vibrators. Okay. So, wow, that was amazing. That was beautiful. And by the way, this is a piece that you can all go to if you're in Los Angeles at Highways, right? It's at Highways
yes.
next weekend, I believe.
Friday and Saturday.
April 8th and 9th.
That's next weekend, Friday and Saturday night, April 8th and 9th at Highways, the artsy performance place. So Nina, is this the first time you've seen these pieces?
Yes, it's just fabulous, and it gives me my own ideas. But it's just so great. It's,
yeah.
You know,
what are you going to do
a
one-woman show?
I don't, when I get my head out of my ass.
Right? Is that the kind of scene you had to do today, head in the ass?
You don't want to know.
I mean, that's the new thing, right?
But it is. Well, it's great to see the
new anal.
Art. Y'all insisting. It's just great to see because, you know, I don't have kids of my own, so I'm an honorary auntie.
Yes.
Absolutely. So I'm just as proud as any blood aunt could possibly be. I'm just thrilled and amazed and delighted, and it's brave and it's fabulous and it's about time. And it's just great because you're going to reach a whole bunch of people that would never listen to old fogies like me and your dad, but they can listen to you because you're a peer and you're hip and you're cool. So it's that wonderful, it's the good part of the 60s and 70s trickled down into a really great young person. And
now, do you think of Nina as kind of like an auntie?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Nina's one of the sweetest women I've ever met in my entire life, and just such warm energy, and just so, that wonderful warm energy, and just so open at the same time. I always felt like I remember like the first time that I can't remember our first meeting, but I remember as long as I've known you, I've always felt like I could say anything to you and ask anything, and that's a really mm-hmm. wonderful way to be with young kids.
That's an honor, and thank you very much, and it's ask me anything.
Yeah, now do you feel the same way about aunties as you do about daddy? I mean, like mm-hmm. You don't want to see anyone naked that might have had sex with your dad. But I mean, Nina spans more time, so that would be a lot of people.
Well, I don't avoid. I haven't watched Nina's porn, but I don't avoid people that work with Nina.
Oh, okay. Because that would be, so you could watch April, for instance.
That would be a little bit less weird. I plan on seeing Artcore. This sounds like a really cool piece.
Oh, cool. Thank you. Yeah. And Nina and I actually did a scene.
Hopefully the first of many.
Don't
goodbye.
Ruin it.
Yes. Oh. I it ended in me saying, don't stop.
It was
stop.
Great. That's good. She is just as luscious as you think she would be.
Well, yes, y'all have a lot of fans that are listening and actually are watching. You can listen on drsusanblock.tv or watch if you join. And so Panty Boy is just besides himself, Nina. He just loves you.
Move a little over this because thank you.
Oh, okay. I got to move over here. Huh? So did you, I mean, on Twitter, he's just been tweeting at you a lot.
I have seen his name on Twitter now that you mention it, actually. And I don't know if I actually DM'd him or anything like that, but... He seems like a sweet one.
He is a sweet guy, and his actual Twitter name is PornStarFan, but spelled in a weird way. And, I mean, he just is so obsessed with panties. I'm the one that told him to use an avatar that shows a guy with panties over his face.
The perfect.
You know, because before he just had an egg. you know, I said, you got to hatch something, please. You know, and so the panties over the face idea. So he wants to know, are you wearing panties right now?
I wear panties pretty much all the time.
Really?
Yes.
Really?
And well, women drip from the bottom like milk cartons.
Yes. That's a good analogy. You know? Yeah.
So I just, Lord bless women who go commando. I really obviously admire
yes.
it.
There's
but
quite
I
a lot
could
of
never,
porn stars. That
I could
do.
Never, unless right. I'm wearing a, the only time I might be going commando is if I'm wearing a skirt that is mid-calf length or longer. Mm.
Mm-hmm. And so may we ask what type of panties you're wearing?
Actually, I wear full seat bikini panties
full
in black.
Seat. You know, those are a panty lover's favorite.
They're not white cotton, they're not granny panties, but they're full seat panties.
They love the full seat because it absorbs more.
It hides, it shows. You know what? Every person likes his own kind of panty. The sheer bottom panty, the thong panty, like you're wearing right. the granny panties in satin or cotton. Yeah.
Exactly. Triple strap so, thong panty.
Yes, indeed. Just don't get suntan, it'd be a very odd pattern.
Mm. That would take a lot of persistence.
Yes, it would do. Yeah. So.
Now, Richard relieved himself of his panties on the show that I was on before.
Yes, I did.
He was on.
Yes, I did. We can check the archives.
And I think we have a panty theme going, as your son just did a performance art piece in his
underwear.
I saw that.
They weren't right panties. They're very nice.
I don't think I've seen him in his underwear since I changed his diapers.
Well, what are those? Those are...
Boxer briefs.
Right. You don't call them boy shorts if they're on a boy, right? No.
They're just called shorts.
Okay, shorts. Right.
Well, that's one of the amazing things about having children, because they make choices which just stun you. I mean, I would never wear boxers.
You were stunned by that?
I couldn't wear boxers.
But these are boxer
years.
Briefs. You have the support of a brief and the nice comfort of a boxer.
Well,
thank
you've been
you.
A boxer boy all along.
Thank you, Nina.
And I couldn't wear boxer pants. Also, some of my children eat pickles. My God.
Right.
I think
everyone
my wife
has
is,
their
you don't like pickles?
Taste.
I think my wife is fucking the milkman.
You don't like pickles?
Pickles are God's curse on the civilization.
And you're a Jewish boy? Cucumbers, you don't like pickles?
Cucumbers are pickles that didn't fulfill
dying,
their potential.
I wouldn't need a pickle.
Really?
Hungry.
Really? That's not very Hamish.
You know, from Stick Dreck, that's what pickles are. I just,
really?
Stick Dreck. I don't get it with pickles. And my kids didn't like peanut butter. If I was,
what?
I could live for the rest of my
life,
life
on peanut butter.
Butter,
yes.
They don't eat peanut butter. They never, peanut butter, they wouldn't eat it. I don't understand.
Wow, no, I don't.
You have something against peanut butter? Is it the nuts thing? Or?
I don't know where you're getting this. I love peanut butter. Did Julianne and Polly not eat peanut butter?
Not a bit. I could not make peanut butter lunches for them. They would not eat them. They would come home in the bags that I wrapped them, and that was that.
Important question, chunky or smooth?
Chunky, of course.
Mm, you're wrong on that one.
No smooth.
Are we talking about his semen? Or?
Oh!
I'm sorry.
Is that John Seaman? Remember John?
Oh, ba-dum boom.
Hi, John. How are you?
He's always surprised that semen comes in so many different textures. It can be clear or milky, solid or very fluid. It's sometimes chunky. Some guys do blow chunks.
Yeah, sure.
They're now selling cod semen as a delicacy.
Tapioca.
You see that?
Oh, really?
The Chronicle culinary section.
No.
Cod semen is the new food.
No. That's like goat eyeballs.
Cod cum on your chopped liver.
They
pour it right on there, and you get to eat cod cum.
No.
This is not a cooking show.
Oh, sorry.
Thank goodness.
Well, Epicurean. We're into the fine arts of everything.
Yes. Yeah. But we do like to eat out.
Right.
Yes,
we do.
Yeah.
We like eating at the Y. Box lunches are good.
So, kids, no kids, what do you think? I mean, would you have kids?
Carlos and I are talking about it. We're getting ready to get ready.
Really?
Getting ready to get ready.
Getting ready to get ready.
Good.
Yeah, so not soon, but maybe.
Maybe.
But it was very inspiring to see you, because I don't know how I'm going to...
Deal with that.
Talk about it. Or
you're going to have a kid. If you have a kid, he could grow up or she could grow up to talk about you on a stage.
Well, I know. That's why I was totally inspired to see how you
interpreted it. They could do other things, too.
And, well, I always joke with Carlos, our kid's going to be a Republican or, yep. or a drag queen. So.
Or Christian.
Well, the one advice that I would have for if you do decide to have kids is that the thing that surprises most of my friends who I've talked to about it is that I don't remember finding out that my dad used to be a porn star. I have no recollection of that memory whatsoever. And I attribute that to the fact that it was normal in my house.
Yeah.
That sex was something that was normal and accepted. And, you know, I was talking to someone about it yesterday, and I was like, do you remember when you found out that your dad was a mechanic? And she didn't. Of course she wouldn't. Why would you remember that? For me, it was just like that.
It's just something that was always, well, that's the way.
Also, Bobby, your parents built a really great home for the kids. They were good parents. They're good co-parents together.
Absolutely.
And separately. They had a plan. They had an idea. They had a philosophy and ethics. They're good parents. So you're raised in a happy, well-adjusted, functioning home.
Good hippie parents.
Absolutely.
But good parents, and that transcends, of course, having a loving state, that two-parent stable home thing that the Republicans keep wailing and keening about. That's what Bobby and his sisters grew up in, and the proof's in the pudding. My parents were married 63 years before my father died, but I will say this about the Gordon kids. They like each other. They're a close family. Wow.
But I'll tell you one of the ironic anomalies of life. If you want to make sex really red fucking hot crazy, then you should forbid it.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you teach your children that sex is a normal part of life and you don't vilify or deny it, in some ways you normalize sex and it becomes just a part of life.
Mm.
But when you denigrate it, scare them with God and the devil, and forbid it, it becomes this secret, red-hot fucking thing. Mm. Because human beings can't deny it.
That's why most of the hottest porn stars are from, like, the Bible Belt.
The Catholics, yeah.
Yeah, the Catholic Bible Belt.
So when you forbid it...
Or Orthodox Judaism, or something where they're held back.
Well,
and they want to burst forth. And one thing that you say on your show, or the show that I watched, is, how do you rebel against a dad who's a porn star? I mean, you could become a Republican, and to your credit, you did not. You could become a priest. And to your credit, you did not. So what do you do? I mean, it's tough.
You could accuse them of things.
Yeah, that's true. Right. You can rebel in that
false
way.
False memories.
Yeah,
yes.
False memories.
Dad, fucked me in the ass when I wasn't looking when I was six.
Yeah, yeah, that's how
I know that one.
You.
I know
yeah,
that one.
Yeah, that's one way. That's
that goes
another
on.
Terrible way to go.
I
so
know.
You know, it's a tough situation how to... love your parents and yet kind of separate and establish yourself and establish yourself sexually. You know, you got to establish yourself sexually, and that is not easy when, you know, your dad is up on the big screen, at least, or was.
I had a call from Screw Magazine many years ago asking me a question. why are so many of the big-time porn stars Jewish? Mm. They were talking about Jamie Gillis and Harry Reams and myself and Herschel Savage.
And now Ron Jeremy.
And Ron Jeremy.
And of course.
And I spent 3 hours on the phone talking to the writer, a wonderful reviewer named Danny Shockett of Days of Old. And I'm talking about the Kabbalah, and my own sense of myself was because the Jews didn't have any central authority like a pope defining right and wrong. You could pretty much act in any way you thought ethical and find a Jewish sect that would support your ideas. You weren't excommunicated.
You also weren't sent to hell.
You weren't sent to hell.
For eternity.
Or prison.
Or prison.
But when the article, I was very...
You just might have committed a shunda.
So
your bubby wouldn't speak to you.
I was very eager to see this article when it came out, because we had some serious discussion on the issue. And when the article came out, it was so Al Goldstein. It came out, how heaps hump.
Alliterative and crass. Great. I love Al. And, you know, I also think it's because, I mean, Jews, well, I mean, the old tradition is that the Christians wouldn't let the Jews do anything but lend money. And so that's why Jews went into banking. And I believe that's why Jews became entrepreneurial. And porn is certainly an entrepreneurial activity, you know?
You know, I want to just suggest, I don't know if you've ever heard about this, but in the ancient Judaism, there was a holiday around Lag BaOmer, the festival of the harvest, where on
Lag BaOmer, I haven't even heard that word since like Hebrew school.
Exactly. On the night when all the food was harvested, all the wheat was in, all the work was done, on that night, marriages were suspended. And everybody could go out in the field and fuck whoever they wanted to for one night.
Hallelujah.
The night after all the...
Lag BaOmer, I got to celebrate that now. You should have been here for Purim last week.
Amen.
2 weeks ago, we did Purim. I mean, we go crazy over Purim.
Well, that holiday should be still celebrated.
That's a great holiday.
It's gone out of... It's gone
Purim?
Out of,
oh, no.
The Lag BaOmer.
Oh, Lag BaOmer, yeah.
But that's not the holiday I'm talking about, because the holiday, I don't know...
We're getting a little esoteric now. Yeah. We got to, you know...
But just think of a day when marriages are suspended, where you get to have the night off.
Yeah,
for one
that's
fucking
amazing.
Night, you go out and
that.
Fuck all the women.
And you know what? And for most people, one sanctioned night a year is enough.
All you need.
Is all you need.
All you need.
And then you can talk about it the rest of the
that's
year.
That's right. Yeah. You can live off it for a year.
Yeah, you totally could.
You can think about
fantasize
it for a year.
About it. You take a few pictures, keep them in your wallet.
There you go.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. You know, so, well, Jews, Catholics. I mean, actually, this seems like the porn business, the modern porn business. Of course,
it's much more mixed now. It's not so ethnic at all.
And porn is, let's just say, it's as old as art. I mean,
the first piece of art
that we know about is the Venus of Willendorf, right? That's 30,000 years old, discovered in Austria. It's a fertility goddess. And to me, she looks like either a sex toy or an erotic sculpture, at least.
I think it was about grab your dick.
You know?
That was it. The first sex therapy advice was grab your dick.
Because I want in.
It came from Adam to Eve. Or Eve to Adam, one way.
It was the snake.
Also, you have to appreciate Judaism, because the sex within marriage, in Jewish marriages, is for the wife, not the husband. And she can divorce him if he's not pleasing to her. It's her right to be sexually satisfied with that marriage.
Amen and amen.
Yeah, yeah, so, you know, that's just like, you don't get that with Gentile religions.
Yeah, now, that's interesting, though. I was just looking at that little piece that Bill Maher did on Valentine's Day, and how, you know, porn is great. Of course, he's pro-porn, but he's saying, you know, hey, it's Valentine's Day. Why don't you, you know, stop watching the porn and have sex with your wife or your girlfriend? She's right there. And isn't this kind of almost an epidemic? I mean, not that he's against porn at all, but that a lot of guys, I guess, are getting lazy. And, I mean, the joke he ends with is, I don't know if I got the timing here, but, you know, it was like 20 years ago we discovered what makes women come. And 20 years later we discovered that we're too lazy to do it.
Or we don't care.
We don't care. Or so, I mean, we don't want to make the effort to do it. So,
oh, we're
you know.
Too angry.
Yeah.
We're paying. I mean, so much of porn, and it was in my generation, I think it's actually worse than this generation, is that it's a bastion of male revenge. It's the kind of sex that men do for other men. It's men showing off for men.
Mm.
It's like, let's fuck the
dicks
bitch.
Dicks for dicks.
It's
with a bitch in between.
It's not the kind of sex that allow men to talk about how much they need their mommy or how much they need their wives. It's hostile stuff. And it's what men pretend in front of other men, as opposed to what they're like when they're just themselves.
But it has opened up quite a bit, yeah?
Yeah, I think pornography is something else, because I'm an old revolutionary from way back. I think the revolutions that are happening all over the world today, especially in the Arab world, and we're sex therapists, we're probably the major sex therapists in the world, and they call us from the Arab world. Mm-hmm,
sure. They call us from Iraq.
Yeah. Sure, and they don't give a shit about the politics. Mm-hmm. They give a shit about pussy.
And
they saw
Saudi
pussy,
Arabia.
They saw it on the internet, and they want to know how they can get their wives to squirt.
And that's why they're in the streets.
And that's why they're in the streets
today.
They
are. They're in the streets for freedom.
And they're not going to fucking take that credit away from us. We are the revolution, and we've been the revolution. And our women, the women, are the foot soldiers of the revolution. They're the front line shock troops. They're the front line shock troops that have changed the world. Have changed the world.
Thank you, Brother Max.
Victims? Wait a minute. Victims? Maybe if you work at McDonald's, you're a victim. Or if you work for the police, you're a victim. But not in pornography. It's your body. Mm. And you do with what you want with it.
All right.
Well, only because we live in a free Western culture where women have been given equal freedom under the law and equal rights and equal protection under the law. You know, many women in many parts of the world do not have this freedom, do not have this ability. And when, you know, women are getting killed for showing too much ankle.
That's correct.
You know, so it is.
That's why we have to change the husbands who call us and say,
exactly,
what's going on here?
That's why we have to drop pocket rockets and not Patriot missiles.
And we say, idiota, idiota, wake up, idiota.
Right.
It's your wife, it's your partner, it's your friend.
Just like in the grab your dick piece, you know? I mean, hey, let's be friends here. We've all got dicks or pussies or maybe even both, but we're all part of the same human race, and we're very close to the bonobos. So, you know, but that reminds me, yes, porn is part of the revolution. It's part of a political revolution.
Oh, certainly.
It's part of the revolutions that are going on all over the world. And yes, pornographers, porn stars, you know, we're at the front lines, and I include myself in there, you know, sex therapists, sex workers, sex talk show hosts, porn stars, all opening people's minds to their sexuality, which then opens them up to all kinds of other things. You know, that's something so basic and so important. And the porn stars are on the front line.
It opens them up to freedom, because the radical undressing of yourself is a radical act that changes everything. It says, fuck you to society.
So that brings me to a point on which I want to challenge Master Bobby. you and I don't know how serious. I mean, you know, you're an artist, so it's everything has different sides to it. But there comes a point when you're talking and you're bathed in a red light, and so you know it's a serious moment where you're like facing your dad and you're saying, "Dad, you know, I love you," and you've done all these like great hallelujahs to your dad in different ways. But now it's like, why did you do porn? Was it it's a last resort. Is it? Is porn like a last resort?
It is for some people.
McDonald's is a last resort.
Well, you know, for me, my experiences with porn have been from the outside. You know, I spent my life not in the porn community, but in the outside community. And so the messages that I was getting about porn are all the stereotypes and all the uninformed, mean, and hurtful stereotypes. And for me, I knew a loving father. I knew a father who drove me to baseball practice and was very caring and loving with my mother and amazing to me and my sisters. And for me, I never really questioned that. And then there came a moment when I was saturated with both. I was saturated with what I knew my dad to be, and I was also saturated with everything that I'd heard about what porn stars are. And I had to really question, what was the bullshit? And it was a question that was really scary to ask, because I really wanted, you know, I really wanted to trust my dad and believe my dad. But in order to really have that as the foundation, and I had to really get to the bottom of that. And I mean, I think, Dad, you know where I where I landed with that. I love you, and I know what an amazing human being you are. And it was a very scary question to really ask that after 24 years, to really think about everything that I'd heard that porn stars are and how little that had to do with what I knew my dad to be. So where did that come from, and what was that? And that was the real meat of the process of writing the show, was coming to terms with how wrong the world has been about you.
Yeah. And I think how wrong the world might be about a lot of porn stars.
Absolutely.
I mean, your dad is obviously an exceptional individual, but I don't know. I wonder if for any porn star who really gets somewhere with it, who does more than a year's worth of scenes, if there it's a last resort. I mean, is it? It seems like it would have to be something that moves you to do it. I mean, Nina, you have much more experience with porn stars, and I'm sure it might be a last resort for a few, but then they would get out of it, I would think. Is it a last resort, or anymore? I mean, nowadays, so many people are doing porn. I mean, every librarian, you know, has a webcam in her, you know, in her basement or her bedroom with her husband and her boyfriend with her, you know?
Maybe back in the day before the internet, some people ended up in porn who realized they could not make it in the mainstream entertainment business. The bar to entry for mainstream entertainment is so much higher than it is for adult entertainment. I think not so
in
much.
In a way, you don't have to keep an erection in mainstream.
But you have to get past the audition process.
And that was before Viagra.
So it's still
no shit, Sherlock.
Now I think it is more of an avenue for women who are entrepreneurial and ambitious, because you can be your own boss if you're that kind of person. But the entertainment business is brutal, and it doesn't matter what your clothes on or off. Just, you know, the show business is a really rough, mean business, and it has no use for anybody. It has no heart, no soul, no caring, and no memory. So it is harsh on everybody. I don't think porn is any harsher, maybe harsher in a different way. Than trying to get into soap operas.
Life is tough.
Life is tough.
Yeah. So, there's a lot of tough roads.
Why
to go.
Do we get blamed for all of this, right? Life is tough, you know? Be a cop, you get shot at.
But
the ideal is the enemy of the real. And people often start out with a lot of ideals, and then they face reality. I mean, regardless of what path they go down.
People, because our culture devalues sex and sexuality, that of course devalues people who make their living on it, or erotic services providers or whatever, but they think, oh, I can lay on my back. It's like, honey, you try this. You come over here and try this, make this look good. Mm-hmm. It's a job. It's work. That's what the women have to do. I could go on about how difficult it is to be good at what I do as a female. Then you have to add what the men have to do. You know, Ginger Rogers did everything that Fred Astaire did, but backwards in high heels. Porn men do everything that porn women do with an erection in a cold barn. I mean, so it's really, really difficult work. So again, for men, it cannot be last resort, because you can do the work you can. And for women, if you think of it as a last resort, you will not last long. You'll slit your wrist, or you'll go crazy, or they'll kick you out. I mean, they don't want you. There's so many women want in. They want to do the work. They don't need anybody anymore who just wants to punch a time clock.
Yeah. That's true. Absolutely. Well, anyways,
tear the time clock off the wall.
Right.
Speaking of the time clock, we're it's aqua time. I know we have tequila drinkers here. Yeah. Would anyone like to try our delicious agua? I know that April enjoys the agua.
Yes, please.
Yes, please.
Which, by the way, that was my first word, agua.
That was my first word too.
Was it really?
Yeah.
Really?
Agua.
Yeah, agua.
Really. I mean, in a Spanish way, like meaning water.
Water.
Or you didn't mean agua.
No, I was meaning the agua when I was like, one agua, please. With some lime powder.
And while she's doing this.
And the lime powder. Which, of course, you have to lick off of something. Now, I don't know what you want to lick it off of. But is that one got...
Dr. Susie, after I want to talk to Nina about what happened, she was on a yacht somewhere.
Oh, God.
Oh, yes. We have a surprise visitor for you.
What, the Coast Guard? The Coast Guard captain?
Where is he? Where's our fireman? Would you like to try the aqua?
No, I'm driving today, thank you.
Would you like to try the aqua?
I would.
Yeah.
Okay. Tell me about
there,
it.
Here
well,
he is.
This is aqua coca leaf liqueur.
1 second, then we're going to tell this story.
But okay, we're going to drink or tell?
No,
we're going to
tell the story. Have a drink first.
Okay. Well, but you have to lick the lime salt off of someone.
Is it tequila?
No, it's water.
Well, no, it's not.
It's not
tequila. It's made from the coca leaf, but it's perfectly legal. Yeah, the coca leaf.
Medellin.
Yeah, that's lime salt, although, no, you don't snort it. Are you going to lick it off your own finger? I thought you might lick it off of Nina for old time's
sake.
Well,
I'd be glad to.
yeah.
Yes. Looks like he's going to give her an IV or something.
Nothing's coming out. How do I get it out?
You got a pop or what?
It's not coming out. Let's see.
Motherfucker, get out of here!
Okay.
If I'm bruised tomorrow, I'm going to kick it right
here. Try this one.
I don't
know. There we go. Now, what? I lick it?
You lick it, and then you take your shot.
You are definitely driving home.
Well, I am.
Did you want some for the drive?
No.
No.
I want to get him home alive tonight.
Your mother would kill you if you killed your father.
That's very good.
That'd be positively edible. Woo!
Okay, so now we have DJ. Can you come to the microphone? A microphone. Don.
First, I want Nina to tell the story.
The long version or the short version?
The short version.
The short version was, in May of 1997, a bunch of us went out on a boat, and we made a movie, Pussy Man 15. But you see, the captain was a dope head and was taking GHB and drinking
beer. Wait, what's GHB?
GHB.
What
At least
is that?
He wasn't drinking agua.
It was one of those designer drugs at the time, and it had the and the boat had no working radio, which we did not find out until the accident occurred. So coming back from Catalina, the boat is listing side to side.
Oops.
35 degrees.
Oops.
Because the yes, did you know? So long story short, we're going to find the captain. Captain, the boat is sinking. He is passed out.
Uh-oh.
Because he has gone into the motor room and has been overcome by fumes because
captain,
the engine has been swamped and now he has
captain
carbon monoxide.
Fucked up.
So everyone is standing around in a terrified stupor. My nursing training kicks in and I look at the producer and say, call 911.
On the middle of the ocean?
In the middle of Catalina Channel.
Yes.
On the back. So the boat is sinking and I'm on the foredeck of the boat and the water is about 3.5 feet below me and I realize,
uh-oh.
Oh my God, it doesn't matter what I want, I'm going to go swimming in the ocean.
Uh-oh.
The rest of the crew, the three of us, the rest of the crew and cast are shrieking in terror in the back. The production manager, it's the first year of the little mini DV tape, so the production manager has stuffed his vest pockets full of the tape. So we are thinking, okay, well, to go into the water, the little 90-pounder, she's going to last about 20 minutes because it's cold out here. And the big guy, he's going to last about an hour and a half. And just like a movie, the Coast Guard shows up just in the nick of time. And,
hallelujah.
And as no one ever went into the water, and as the last person was hauled off the sinking boat, by the nape of the neck, like a sack of potatoes, the boat tilted over and went under. And so we're all on the Coast Guard cutter going back to the shore. And there's a helicopter, and it's a very bright light. And we're all huddled in blankets. And I'm turning to my friend and go, why is there a helicopter? And she says, Nina, 16 people were saved from drowning. It's a story. And so, and the captain came out and said, you know, by the way, when you get to land, there will be news crews there. You don't have to talk to them. And it was took everything in my power not to say it was supposed to be a 3-hour tour.
A 3-hour tour.
And that's the short version. But the God bless the Coast Guard. It was a knife hellbop. I was on the sinking boat looking at the beautiful star sky. There's hellbop. And there's a floating oil thing. It's like, wow, this is really beautiful. And we're sinking. Wow.
So,
and the worst part of it was The worst part of it was, for once, like a broken clock, my husband was right. He had not wanted me to take the part because cheesy-ass, cheap-ass porno directors will not have a boat with working radio and lifeboat. Sure enough, there's no working radio and a lifeboat. God damn, he was right.
And but, Nina, yes. This is your life. This is one of the people that saved all your people.
Yay.
Thank you.
Let's have a picture.
And all the way back, all the way back to the land, we're going to think, do we say we're making porn? Do they know we're making porn? Does it matter we're making porn? It's legal to make porn. And, you know, should we tell them while they're out there? They're going to know. They're going to recognize somebody. It's like...
So,
thank you. So were you the good one of the Coast Guard guys?
And we were the lifeguards that came out that day.
The lifeguards What were you a lifeguard for?
City of Long Beach.
Oh, I've been saying it was the Coast Guard. So I'm sorry, City of Long Beach lifeguards. Pardon me. I've been given the wrong credit.
City of Long Beach Coast Guards.
City of Long Beach lifeguards. But really, the most amazing thing is nobody got even so much as their foot wet. That's how good these guys were. They came up the offside of the boat and it was too rocky and they circled over because it was starting to tilt and unbelievable, unbelievable. And they just, no one even got bruised or scraped a knee or got wet. It's amazing.
Don is a
How'd you do it, Don?
Don was amazing.
How do you remember it?
I was the rescue boat operator that came out to help you guys. And it was amazing.
You orchestrated the rescue.
That we found one. And one of the parts that she left out of the story was...
It was dark.
The photographers, their strobes were the ones, because the sun was going down, and it was getting dark, and the photographers, their strobes are what we saw the last little bit before the boat was sinking.
I thought you were using triangulation with the GPS and the cell phone.
Yes, we did.
Thing.
We did all that, but at the time...
But it was dark. It's a very small
way
boat,
down,
way down. Wow.
There was nothing.
Wow.
And the only thing that we were able to see was the strobes.
Thank you. We were in the front of the boat and we weren't hearing the yelling and the screaming in the back. And I didn't know that. Thank you for that little bit of information. Long Beach lifeguards.
Oh, yeah.
You forgot something on the boat, so I thought I'd return it.
How romantic. That's so sweet.
I lost $300 worth of my very best sex toys. I was so pissed that night. Oh, boy shorts. Very cute.
Aww.
We need a very small girl. These are so cute. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Do you know anyone small enough to wear these,
April? Not anymore.
And you'll be happy to know that most of the guys in the department have seen your bon voyage.
Oh, good. Well, no, if you get the movie, if you get Pussy Man 15, the whole after sinking news footage has been added to the reel.
Right, they have a, yeah.
Wow.
I have to give you my card before we go. That's so, what a great, thank you for that bit of the story.
Well, we like to bring people together for all kinds of reasons.
How did you find him, Max?
No, listen.
Oh, he found us.
Great.
Yeah.
He's just been an extraordinary guy.
Great friend of the Institute.
Yeah.
Yeah. And
then 97, it was 97, right? It's been,
It's, my time frame is... It's about that long, about 15 years ago.
Yeah, mostly 97 years. Wow, nice. Gee whiz. Yay,
but
God.
It's a great story.
Very sentimental.
Yeah, yeah.
Very thanks, nice. Dr. Nice. Susie and Max. I've been waiting 15 years to meet you now.
Yeah. I'll make sure you get my number.
Yeah, yeah.
That's just great.
One of the highlights of my career.
Thank you. But now, you know what? And unfortunately... I've been giving the Coast Guard credit all these years, and now I know it's the Long Beach Long Beach lifeguards.
Yay. Oh, yeah.
Long Beach lifeguard, yay.
And let's see. I want to give out a few other little presents for people. Oh, I know April loves these Chinese aphrodisiacs.
I do, I do.
Yeah. Here you go. Little pocket rocket.
Oh, wow.
Drop pocket rockets, not Patriot missiles. This is you can use that to measure your dick. It's really good for you.
Oh,
here.
That's just depressing.
Actually,
thank you.
You know, when I met you, Richard, it was over The Spectator.
Yes.
You had reviewed my book, The Ten Commandments of Pleasure.
Isn't that a great book?
And you liked it, even though you didn't want to like it.
No, I didn't.
And you spent half of your review talking about, you know, how you wanted to kill me because I lived in Beverly Hills, which I didn't even live in Beverly Hills.
Oh, so
it was just
sorry.
My P.O. box. Oh. But then you gave it a very nice review. And so I wanted to give a copy to your son. And I just want to say, your dad's not in it.
Thank you so much.
It's a great book, Bobby. It's awesome.
Thank you.
I want to tell you a quick story that integrates Nina and my son. When Bobby was in Little League, I showed up at the field. I was an assistant coach, and I had not breathed a word about my Richard Pacheco background. And the manager of our team, a big black guy who had graduated Stanford, came up to me and said, "We're going to have trouble today." And I said, "What's the matter?" He said, "One of the mothers on the other team knows who you are." Now, I had no idea what he was talking about because I had not breathed a word about who I was on the Little League field. And he said, "I, of course, knew who you were the minute you stepped on the field. And I just want to say to you that anybody that's been in Nina Hartley's booty is okay with me."
All right.
So I will take care of everything. And he proceeded to cool out the mother on the other team for me.
Can we give Panty Boy a thrill and show him your precious booty?
Yes.
Whoa.
I mean, the booty.
Where
the booty?
Which camera?
I don't know. What camera can Panty Boy see? The Nina Hartley booty.
Yeah.
Is that the one? And of course, he is a panty boy. Don't look. You look the other way.
Bobby, do not tell your mother about this at all. Just close your eyes.
I don't even know what you're talking about.
This booty.
I'm reading over here. This book is good.
Ooh.
I'm just
This booty belongs in the Louvre Museum in Paris. Eat your heart out, Penny, man. Eat your fucking heart out. All right.
Spanky.
That's right. My birthday was recently.
Yeah.
Doctor, medic.
Measure it now.
Medic, there's an old porn star here whose heart is defibrillating.
I'm a nurse, it's okay.
Okay.
Oh, that's right.
That's right. I can do CPR.
Right.
Now you don't do mouth to mouth with CPR, it's just chest compression.
Just right.
And I thought it was mouth
rhythm,
to dick.
And the rhythm
that's just for you.
And they discovered that the best rhythm to do chest compressions is the beat of Staying Alive. And they found that when they trained people with using the disco anthem and not, people remembered it much better 6 months later.
Dun,
so it is duh, exact.
Dun, dun, stay alive.
So that's what, if you ever call them on to do CPR, that is what that's a rhythm you try to do, which I thought was just hilarious.
Barry, give me, baby.
Barry, give me. Is that a dildo or a candle?
It's a dildo.
It's a dildo.
It's a dildo.
That would actually feel sort of interesting, a death dildo.
It's by divine intervention.
But I
correct.
Like it. It doesn't have, it's interesting enough in the texture. It would actually sort of feel nice in the.
Yeah, you know, it's not bad.
It's a dildo
little,
of death.
Pointy, but it's
yeah,
a dildo.
Don't
of
be pointy. Don't be pointy. Pointy
you know,
is overrated.
Kind of a goth girl.
If either that or the baby Jesus butt plug.
I got the baby Jesus butt plug somewhere. Someone took it home.
Oh, Lord.
Do you have the...
I got the Jesus jackhammer as well, yeah.
If this is a butt plug, you better hold your breath.
No.
That's a
regular...
Yeah, that's a mainframe.
At the front door.
We could banter all night, but I do want to have... What?
Go ahead. What were you going to say?
I was going to have Bobby do one more excerpt.
Oh,
okay.
Wow.
That sounds good.
Right?
And then
we've got
Empty Oz.
Empty Oz is on the line.
Take him real quick?
Yeah, let's take him real quick. Okay.
So Empty Oz is...
Empty Oz.
Empty Oz is a friend, and he is also Muslim.
He's calling, and I haven't even given out the phone number.
Right, we haven't given out the phone number.
1-866-289-7068. I've been so busy talking with my guests.
But there are... people who are not terrorists, and there are people that we want to live with.
Imagine that.
He's a good Muslim.
Can you imagine?
He grew up with Jews and Catholics.
Right.
Nice.
And he's just a great man, and he is Muslim.
You better
and
be there,
I want to point that out.
There?
Okay?
Hello?
So, okay, hold on a second.
Revolution!
That's right.
Hello?
Go ahead.
Empty Oz.
Thank you.
I'm not kidding. Okay. Yes. Hello?
Hello? Hello? Hello? Hello? After that opening? Oh, there he is. Hello.
Hello.
Hello, darling. Hello, Empty Odds.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, now we can. Welcome. Can you hear me? Hello?
We can hear you. Where are you, in Bangladesh? What's up with your phone service? Can you hear us?
Can
Empty
you
Odds.
Hear? Hello? Okay.
I can't hear
him. I heard him.
Yeah, I heard him for a second.
Empty Odds.
What's this for?
Hello, hello, okay.
All right, I'm going to put him on hold.
Brazilian.
All right. Let's pretend we didn't do that.
Okay.
And now...
Hello, what, brother?
We are going to have another performance. Can we have the microphone over here? Can we?
Yeah.
Let's
move this
pull that up
over
here.
Okay.
And we have Bobby Gordon doing an excerpt from Debbie Does My Dad.
Oh,
soon to be performed.
What happened here? Hold on. Let's adjust his mic. Yeah, there you go. Can somebody tighten that down there? Down in the middle there, Bobby. There you go.
This is such a wonderful world you have here. Thanks for having me.
Oh, thank you. Welcome to our world.
And this is called Hear Ye, and it's another way to think about manhood. Hear ye, hear ye, men from near and far. It is time to tear off the shackles and live better. It is clear that the fundamental method of making manhood has left us emotionally crippled, banging our heads against cave walls and waiting for it to stop hurting. It is clear that the fundamental father-son relationship has been predicated on mitigated half-truth at best. That men are only allowed to feel fear, sadness, and softness in our subconscious. That the only hurt a man can feel is physical. So when we hurt emotionally, we hurt the men and women we love physically. But we believe we are capable of so much more. We find this way of being to be archaic, masochistic, and no longer acceptable. From this day forward, we propose a new code of conduct for men across the globe. One, men shall feel more than the classic four emotions allowed to us. Good, bad, tired, and horny. Two, men shall view misogyny with the same shame, loathing, and stigma normally reserved for impotency and premature ejaculation. Three, men shall be self-sufficient but not independent beings to themselves. Good people speak and listen, help and receive help. Four, due to this, we will finally be able to ask for directions while driving. Five, the word faggot will be struck from our lexicon. Six, we will also throw away the tired and manipulative excuses and just wear the condom when we're asked to. And even when we're not asked to. Seven, all men will be handed a slip of paper with the definition of the word tenderness written on it. It will read tenderness. Now, being affectionate or loving, soft, or delicate. Learn it. This is bravery. Eight. In the coming weeks, we will apologize to the women of the world for the wrongs we have committed against them. Nine. Following the apologies, men are henceforth sexual and sensitive beings. The two are no longer mutually exclusive. And 10, all fathers will cry in front of their sons to show it is both possible and okay. I've seen my father cry.
multiple times.
But the time that sits in my mind is at his own father's gravesite. At graveside, the tears were loud and continuous. Outdoors, it felt inappropriate, like fucking in public. I was waiting to get caught by a passerby. My dad blubbered as his dad was laid in the ground. His dad. His sweet dad. Who hid himself away along with every man of his generation when he had to cry. My dad had to learn on his own, and it is a miracle he did. You know, come to think of it, for his family, it would have been the strangest sight to watch a porn star weep. For me, it was just my dad, who taught me to wear weakness well and make it a strength. So I give this gift to my brothers here. No one's gonna say it. I'm scared to say it, but I'm gonna say it anyway, as controversial as it may sound. It is hard to be a man, especially one capable of feeling. But imagine the freedom from your puffed chest, pent up demons living in your held in breath. Breathe out. This is the new manhood. Welcome.
Breathe out. Breathe in and out.
Thank you, thank you, thank you so much for having me again.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you. Thank you, Bob.
Thank you for joining us.
Yeah. Yes, yes, absolutely. Let's have everybody get up on the stage and say their goodbyes on the microphone, please.
Yes.
Yes, we're getting there. We've got a few more minutes. We got
and where to find you? You're going to be
up on the stage.
Okay.
Bobby, yeah, get up on the stage.
Bobby, you're going to be at Highways.
Yes, I'm going to be at Highways Performance Space in Santa Monica next Friday and Saturday, April 8th and 9th. I would love to see you there. It's going to be a very fun night. I'm going to be doing the full run. You saw some excerpts here tonight. Thank you so much again for having me. This was an absolute thrill.
We're thrilled to have you. We're absolutely thrilled to have you.
Yeah. Let's give him a hand.
Okay. Bobby Gordon. Debbie does my dad. And here's April Flores.
Thank you so much for having us again. It's always amazing to come here.
You are amazing. and I haven't. I love the little trailer for Artcore. I have to see the whole thing.
Yeah.
But Artcore is out, and it's getting nominations for awards.
It's nominated for the Feminist Porn Awards, and yay! And you can buy it from my site, fattyd.com, F-A-T-T-Y-D.com. We produce it and we put it out, so all the money goes directly to us, and we send it out to you directly from us. So.
And Kelly Shabari is in it.
Kelly Shabari is in it. Woo! We did a three-way. Kelly, Courtney, Trouble, and I do a three-way girl-girl
squad. Yeah, cool.
Hitachi fight.
What was that? I can't hear. Speak on the microphone. You know the rules.
Yeah, talk on the microphone.
Yeah, Nina and actually April and Carlos did a film earlier in the middle of last year, and I got to pull a bullet out of Nina's stomach. It's more of a very ultra gore.
That's from our movie stomach. Sugar Sisters.
Yeah. Wow, is that wasn't an erotic moment, right? Or
For well, some it was.
For some, you know, there's a niche for everything.
The great thing about Artcore is that it's revolutionary. It's not part of the adult machine. The adult machine is now dead, and we're in the future. So you can order directly from the artists that make it.
Yeah,
You don't have to steal it or download it.
Very good point. That's a big part of the revolution.
Just because we use the word art, it's not pretentious. Most artists are far more sexier and crazier than porn stars.
Art you can jerk off to.
No, it's real sex. Yeah, it's good stuff in it, so.
Yeah.
FatEd.com, CarlosBatz.com. Thank you, Dr. Susie. It's awesome being here.
Art that, porn that makes you think, is that art? Awesome, I think.
Then the lights get your lube and jerk off.
Yeah. Okay.
I think it's art that makes it happen, and art that makes it happen gives you orgasms, whether it's Rembrandt or any great artist. When you look at it, you go, Yeah.
And art like core it. Comes out of hardcore in hardcore. More ways than one. Art,
by the way, my name is name Max sometimes. Hardcore.
He uses Max Hardcore. Yeah, yeah. Max Hardcore. Okay, so moving right along.
Nina Hartley. Yeah.
Nina Hartley. Woo!
Revolution, evolution.
Thank you, Dr. Susie, for having an amazing group of people. I love your new space, by the way. And I love Howie 27 years. He's my first crush.
Aww.
27 years, my 27th anniversary. And I can't wait to see the rest of Bobby's performance because awesome. You should be so proud. Yeah. You're compelling. You're going to split.
Better than a half tone.
Oh, my God, much better. I am actually working on not moving out of porn, but expanding porn, more sex education, more public speaking.
Sex-wise?
Actually, that was underfunded. It is now falling over flat. So I'm still now Nina Hartley LeBron.
I won't hashtag that
anymore. No, we're thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that. I don't know what to hashtag anymore. But I want to do spoken word, and I finally have learned to slow down when I talk and actually enunciate each and every one of my words all the way to the end.
Yeah.
Nina.com. My Twitter handle is at Nina Land, and you can find me the official Nina Hartley fan page.
And by the way,
you look fabulous. You look amazing.
Yeah, she took away the shoes, right? They tried to take your Nina.
Oh, yes, Nina Footwear tried to take my website
right.
away.
Oh.
And my now ex did an amazing job. And so, yeah, I do own Nina.com.
Great.
Awesome.
Yeah, that was awesome. And don't forget, sex is a fundamental human right. Sexual freedom is a fundamental human right. And the sooner we can get comfortable in our skin, the sooner we can start having more fun.
Yay!
And next but not least, last is...
Ta-da! The ghost of Richard Pacheco. Yeah. Sit down on the bed. Wait, you have to get up here to talk.
No,
though.
He's got to talk up there.
You have to talk. Oh, you're going to kiss my hand. Aw, thank you.
All these
here,
old
sit
people
on the bed. Sit. Come here. Sit behind him.
It's a pleasure.
Hey, don't talk amongst yourselves. Come on.
I want to thank Dr. Susie, and I want to thank Max.
Thank
and
you.
I want to congratulate them for being at the cutting edge of sexual intelligence for so long.
So long.
For doing such a good service.
And so many, so many years in prison. Months in prison.
I want to thank Mark Kearns sitting out here in
Mark.
The
back.
Can we get a picture of him? Is there a camera on him? This is one of the unsung heroes of the entire X-rated industry.
Yeah.
This is a reporter who for the last 30, 40 fucking years has been one of the major intelligences talking about the best of what we've had to offer all these years to the mainstream culture. So Mark Kearns, thank you, and it's a pleasure to see you out there.
Let's hear it for journalism.
And those of you who are fathers who are watching this tonight, you can only imagine the joy, the nachas is how the Jews say it, I feel in watching my son.
Sounds like you got a runny nose.
Nachas. Nachas. I got boogers. I got nachas watching my son.
Good feelings. Good vibes.
My son come of age
and
making his peace with his own penis, which I did encourage him to touch because I found it to be the best way to help manage and navigate some of the crazy chaos of life. It does help us men get our feet back on the ground. And it's
by the way, in the Bible, feet means penis.
Feet means penis?
Yeah.
Fucking A, man.
Right.
Fucking Jehovah must have had something right. Besides Hawaii, you know? Did anybody ever go to Hawaii? When you go to Hawaii, you get the feeling that God got something right.
Do you have a website?
Not yet. My daughter.
How about a Twitter?
My daughter gave me one.
The 21st century.
My daughter gave me one, but I don't know how to use it yet. But I'm writing a memoir called Hindsight, which is the story.
Is that about Nina Hartley?
It in part. It's about Nina Hartley and Seika and Annette Haven and Kay Parker and John Leslie. And sprinkles. You know, in this last year, unfortunately, we legends of porn have lost a lot of ourselves. Marilyn Chambers is gone. John Leslie is gone. Jamie Gillis is gone. Juliet Anderson is gone. You know, I look in AVN, the Adult Video News, every month, and I see if I'm still alive. And I'm still here, and I'm very happy about that. And I'm writing about that in my memoir, Hindsight, where I try my best. I'm doing my fucking best to extract what were the gems from the phlegm. We had a lot to say about what was good about the sexual revolution, and I'm trying to pass those things on to my children. And in writing this memoir, my main goal was to write the story, to hand to my three children. And then I'm going to do whatever I can to publish it. The mainstream industry is not interested in pornography, unfortunately, but I'll get what I get from it. You know, in chapter one of my book, I wrote about, I was driving across.
I got you on a microphone, and now you're going to.
That's all right.
I was driving across the country.
We're extending the show.
Yeah, we're extending the show.
We are over time.
All right. I was driving across the country.
Go for it.
And it was the middle of 1971, and my new lover from Berkeley took off her blouse. It was hot. It was Kansas in the summertime, and we're driving on Interstate 70, and she took off her blouse, and there was no bra, there was no bikini top, she was naked, there were her breasts flowing in the breeze, and I said to her, what are you doing? Are you crazy? And I had a shopping bag filled with marijuana in the back seat. And it was the wrong thing to say to this woman, because she was like 10 years older than me, and I all of a sudden turned into, from being this precocious, wonderful young man that she'd been lovers with, I turned into LBJ napalming babies. And I heard the first lecture I ever heard about women's liberation. And I heard it all the way through Kansas, Colorado, Nevada, Wyoming, all the way to California, to the Berkeley Commune where I was moving in. And my book agent said to me, well, she sounds like a loon. What was the attraction to this woman? And I said, well, she was the first woman that ever asked me to fuck her in the ass. And he said, oh, no, you can't put that in a book. That's way too much information. We don't want to know that. It's not important. And I said, are you crazy? I quit a job in Washington. I left the woman I was living with for 5 years, and I moved to California, all because I could fuck this woman in the ass. And you're trying to tell me it's not important? And he said, look, I've told you before, a guy like you is only believable in fiction. So don't tell me this is the truth. And I said to him, okay, it's all fiction. It's all just fiction. And my memoir, which will soon be available to you in some fashion, called Hindsight, is all just fiction. So that's what I'm working on. It's a pleasure to be here tonight.
Hindsight.
It's a pleasure to introduce my son. God bless you all. Thank you. Good night.
Thank you, Richard Pacheco. And I'm sure you want a parting shot, Max, before we wind up this overtime show.
Yeah, so I'd like to get all you guys together here.
We're getting together.
Yeah, because you're all very famous and wonderful and delicious, and you are the revolutionaries of the past and the future. You started this whole fucking thing, okay?
Well, some of us.
Some of us. So let's get some photos here, guys. Let's...
Okay, well, we're going to end the show.
Okay, end the show.
Anyway,
let's close it.
I want to say something revolutionary.
No.
Okay,
no.
Well then, you know, hey.
Hey.
The revolution is within you. Okay?
And it's on.
That's where it starts. It
it's
starts
on right
within
now.
You. And it's on. And
every
it spills
morning.
Out into the seats, into the streets and into the seats and into the sheets. The revolution just spills. It spills with with your lubricated self. It just spills over into the streets. So get that revolution going right in your heart.
Take
Make
it all
like
down.
Bonobos, not baboons.
Yeah.
Drop pocket rockets,
Man.
Not Patriot missiles. That's right. Yeah. Do the hoka hoka. Make love, not war. Make love to someone you love tonight, even if that someone is you. I love you.
We love you.
We love you.
We love you.
We love you. Okay. We love you. Okay, now we're going to do group pictures, which means everybody sit there, and I am going to take my hat off, and not my hat, but this and my, somebody help me take this thing off.
You can talk to us. I'm Dr. Susan Block, your mistress of the airwaves, but my day job is director of the Dr. Susan Block Institute for the Erotic Arts and Sciences, specializing in sex therapy over the phone. Anytime you need to talk, whether you need serious psychotherapy or a hot phone sex experience, or a combination, my world-renowned telephone sex therapists are just a phone call away. Totally private, absolutely confidential. We listen, talk with you, advise you, role-play for you, fantasize with you, no fantasy is too taboo, and help you with anything from impotence to exhibitionism, fears to desires, fetishes to marriages. For more information, call us at 213-291-9497. That's 213-291-9497, anytime you need to talk.
You're listening to Radio City 1 on World Wide Web. And now, here she is, Dr. Susan Block.